Parashas Nasai, we're in the middle of this, the parasha of the Seita. Okay, we're up to the parasha of the Seita. Here we go. Okay, so let's see what the pasuk says. I'm going to go back to pasuk. Review the pasuk very quickly. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Okay,
Parashas Hashavua.
Yeah.
You want to hear Ephraim?
Yeah.
Turn it over. Sit up. Let me see your belly.
Okay, Perek, we're up to Perek. Perek, hey, pasuk Gimel v'shachav ish oisa shichva zera v'nela me'ini isha. Okay, pasuk says that the man committed adultery. V'shachav ish oisa shichva zera v'nela me'ini isha. A man was shachav, with this woman v'nela me'ini isha. It was hidden from her husband. What has happened? Vinistra vihinitma. She was quarantined, for lack of a better word. Vinistra vihinitma v'edin ba vihiloy nispasa. She was not forced into do this act. Let's review the words of Rashi. Okay, we did this yesterday at length. I don't want to go through the details then, but let's just read the Rashi very quickly. Pasuk Yud Gimel Rashi says, V'shachav ish oisa ish prat l'katan. Over here we're laying out over here a lot of rules. Many, many rules to teach us the rules of Saita. Number one is ish. Ish prat lekatan. Number two, mi she'ena ish. Two exemptions. The laws of Saita apply only to a man when a man lives with this woman to the exclusion of a minor. Number two, umi she'ena ish. I leave that to your imagination. I don't know what that we discussed yesterday. Are we referring to a woman? Maybe. Are we referring to a shade, a demon? Maybe. Are we referring to a woman that does an avera with a robot? Okay, do I have to elaborate? Umi she'ena ish. This does not make a woman into a saita, that a woman is not going to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash to drink the Mehamorim. Next, oisa shechva zera. What is the significance of the word oisa? Rashi only dwells upon the word. I saw the teacher of the law only applies when the woman was nichshal, not where the woman's sister was nichshal. Because there is a halacha that a man is not allowed to be married to two sisters. So if he's married to woman number one, if woman number two does an aveira that has no effect on the relationship between the husband and her sister and the real wife. But the shchiva of the sister does not disqualify her. For example, there was a story there where there were two sisters, and the husband, by accident, he was bo on his sister-in-law. That does not have any effect on his own marriage. Next, v'nela me'ene isha. The Gemara has a drasha. The law of Saita only applies when the husband can see. Prat l'suma. Ha im haya roya uma amim. But let's say, or svarim achem umalim, which means the same thing. But let's say the husband is fully aware of what has happened. Then again, the laws of Saita do not apply. The laws of Saita only apply when the husband honestly does not know what happened. If the husband has no doubt, he is absolutely certain that his wife was nichshol in an avera, the laws of Saita do not apply. Ein hamayim b'etim v'asav v'nistra, she'irsh, this is the word v'nistra, to mean that she must be locked up with this man, the amount of time that they can do an avera, what that time is, leave it to the poskim. V'nistra she'ur she'teiro'eh, that is fitting, l'tumas bia. The Eidin Ba, there are no witnesses. Cha im yesh ba afilu eidech. Rashi makes a deek. This is a sticking point in the Targum, which we're not going to really get too involved in, because there's a Gemara, and the Gemara says that whenever it says in the Torah the word aid can mean a set of witnesses. It means two witnesses. Even though aid is b'lashon yochid, it should say a dim. The Gemara has a diuk to teach us that sometimes the Torah refers to two witnesses in the singular term. Rashi tells us here that this is an exception. In this instance, when it says aid, we're going to take it literally. There is not even a single witness that knows what happened. However, if there is even a single witness, although this single witness may not be enough to have the woman killed in court, or it's one witness is not enough in Beis Din, in this instance, one witness is enough to stop the story, to prevent her from having the from drinking the mei soita. She would not drink. And then Rashi says the eid in ba. He has another drasha betuma avol yesh edim l'stira. It says in ba. He makes a diak here. The word ba means there is no aid to testify that the woman actually. There is no testimony to testify that the woman actually did the avera. But there is testimony that tells us that the man and the woman were alone together in the same room. Nitbisa, nensa, she was not forced. Okay, so let's now review over here. What is the basic gisa? The basic story over here is, I'm going to clarify one point because is the story of a soita is discussing basically a woman who's married, a married woman who entered into yichud, into a room all alone with a man that is not her husband. And we do not know what happened inside. We know for sure that they were alone together for a significant period of time, in a room, all alone, with the door locked, no one can come in. They were alone together for a significant period of time. That we know to be a fact. That's what the pasuk says, Eid ein ba. There is no witness testimony that she actually did the avera, but we know as a fact that they were together alone in the same room. The husband, we're going to see now, before this event happened, warned his wife, I know you have your eye on this man. I know there's something going on between you and him. I am warning you, don't you dare have anything to do. Don't you dare lock yourself up in this room. If you do lock yourself up in this room, you're asking for big trouble. So that part of the equation that the husband warned her in advance is first going to be presented in the next pasuk. And that's where Unkelis is going to possibly disagree with Rashi. We'll see in a moment. But this pasuk is describing what happened at a later point in time. In other words, according to Rashi, what we're going to take away from this is the psukim are out of order. It's a very important point. That's a difficulty in reading the psukim. The psukim are out of point. The psukim over here, the first pasuk, is jumping in and telling us what happened in the middle of the story. In the middle of the story, witnesses observed this woman enter, a married woman, enter into a room, lock the door with a man that's not her husband and was there for a significant period of time. And we have no idea what happened inside this room. If we do know what happened inside this room, then there's nothing to discuss. She goes back home, or she doesn't go back home, then it's a different story. If we know that nothing happened inside, she goes home, Shalom al Yisrael. If we know for a fact that she did an Avera in this room, that's it. She never goes home to her husband, there's nothing to discuss, he divorces her, and he doesn't have to pay her the ksuba. The problem here is we do not know what happened. But we do know they were locked up. So to read the pasuk again, pasuk Yigimel v'shachav Isha. So now here it says the word shchiva, shechita. What I don't understand, which I don't understand. It's not being explained here in the pasuk. Maybe when we read the next pasukim, we'll have clarity in this. But these words over here are very disturbing to the story. V'shachav ish oisa shechva zera. Wait a minute. I thought the story is where we do not know if this happened. Isn't that what the story is all about? We do not know if this indeed happened. And the pasuk here states, as a matter of fact, that it did happen. So we have to put that aside for the moment. It says here, "Venela me'ene isha." It's then the pasuk goes on to say the husband does not know. He honestly does not know what happened. Isha with the mapik hey. He has eyesight. But one thing that we do know for a fact, v'nistira, we do know for a fact that they were together, v'hi nitma'a, and here it says the word nitma. Also, Rashi is not explaining the meaning of these words, v'eid ein ba, and there is no witness to tell us what happened indoors, because if there was even a single witness, then this whole story wouldn't begin. And Rashi also says v'eid ein ba also means there is no testimony regarding. There's a diyuk. There's no testimony regarding the actual event indoors, but there is testimony telling us that they did have yichud. The hiloy nispasa. It's important to know that the woman did this willingly. No one forced her to enter the room alone with this man. Okay, now let's go to the targum. We're not going to dwell too much on targum here because it's way too complex for me. I need the art scroll, and I'm very upset at Mark because Mark is the nephew of Meir Zlatowitz, who's the Targum was printed and published in his memory, and they still did not put out Bamidbar. They gave away only Parshas Bamidbar. They didn't give away Parshas Nosoi. They did not give that out for free. The forthcoming volume, they put out three volumes, Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, and we're already up to Nosoi, and where is it? It's not available yet. Okay, not yet. I guess Corona probably held him back, whatever it is. But Amir Tashem soon, this is in honor of him. This is published in honor of Meir Zlatowitz, the founder, establisher, the creator of Art Scroll. Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Yishkoiv Givar Yosa. Targum on Pasuk Yud Gimel says a man will lie with her. Shichva Zara. Now, one point I want to make, that we are going to make over here in the Targum that the Mefarshim point out, is that the word the Yishkav that's not what I'm referring to. Okay, let's go further. Fine, the Yishkav Gvar Yosa Shichva Zara Vihei Mechusa, and it is concealed Me'enei Bala Umitamra. Now here's the point he wants to make. Umitamra. Now, when it says in the pasuk v'nistara, how would you translate that in according to the laws of grammar? The past tense, v'nistara, and she was locked up. The Targum does not do that. Umitamra. Here is a chidush. The Targum is flexing his muscles and doing something which is not expected. The goal of learning Rashi and the Targum is always to discover the unexpected. When you read the pasuk, so you translate the words and you think you know what it means and you go weiter. And then Rashi very often throws in a monkey wrench and he translates words in a very unexpected way. Obviously, something was bothering Rashi and telling you the ordinary translation can't possibly be. You have to be creative. Now, it's difficult enough when Rashi throws in the monkey wrench and translates the words unexpectedly. But it's even more difficult when the Targum does that, because the Targum doesn't explain himself. At least Rashi, when he says something bizarre, at least Rashi explains himself to a degree. But the Targum is not so generous. The Targum says bizarre things and he leaves you bewildered. He leaves you hanging. Like, what did you just say? And here is an example. I don't have answers because this is a very complicated sugya. And the Targum says Umitamra, and the commentator here on the side of the Maisefer that deals with this, the Targum says, excuse me, what did you just do? The word Umitamra is Beloshen Hoive in the present tense. That's not what the Nistara means. The Nistara is in the past tense. So why is the Targum Belashon Hoive? And he proves that because the other examples, the way you prove that the Targum is playing games with you is always by cross-referencing the Targum to the same exact word elsewhere. So here he does that without going into too much detail. And Targum over here says that it's in the present tense. Umitamra, vihi misa'ava, and it says that she is Timea. Okay, and this also is an unusual word. He says a misa'ava, okay, we'll just leave the sword lesba. Vesan, there is no testimony. Vihi loy is achadas. Ischadas means she was not one. Achiz, now this is also a very, very funny word. The last word, vihi loy nis posa, Rashi also struggled. Rashi struggled with this word. And Rashi said the word nis posa means she was not seized. She was not grabbed. She was not forced. It's basically a borrowed expression. The Targum doesn't say that. Targum says the word nisposa means is-achadas. Is-achadas means one. She was not one with her abductor. She was not, what does that mean? It means l'shoin. Okay, I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. Let's just learn now that she was not grabbed. She was not one with her abductor, and in that context, it means
she wasn't part of the plot.
She did it willingly. She had her own das. So what it means over here is that she did it willingly. It has to mean here that she did it willingly. When a person does it willingly, it means there are two people. There are two people. There's my opinion, and there's your opinion. And we will come together and we'll do something. I also have equal rights. I have freedom, right? I have equal rights. When a person has no choice, then it's called, there's only one opinion. The parents make the decision and the children follow the decision of the parents whether they like it or not. Your mind doesn't count. So if when it says, v'hi loy nispasa, he translates, she was not one. She was not part of the man's plan. The one over here means a man had a plan to rape her, and the man is not asking her, is not asking for her opinion. The man will do whatever he wants, whether she likes it or not. For she was not one to the man, meaning she was not bottled to his das. She also had an opportunity to make a decision, and she could have said, you know what, I don't want to do this. And if she would have said, I do not want to do this, then she would have walked out. So, in other words, she was not one, but there were two. She is not part of his one. There are two opinions, and she readily agreed, she made a decision, she wants to do this act. All right, let's do that, yep.
Why'd you jump that she wants to do the act? No, she's not part of it. So she was forced.
No, if she was forced and it's a given, there's a davar poshut adam o, then the parsha of soit doesn't apply. Unless you want to be machadish that the unkelis has a whole new pshat in the story of soit, which is not mistaver. Everyone agrees. The Gemara, these are Gemaras, the Mishnayis, everyone agrees it's a given. The law of soit only applies when the woman made a conscious decision to do this avera. If a woman was raped, there's no storia of soita. There's no such thing. If a woman was dragged into this room, then the husband does not take her and give her the meha ma'arim to drink. Doesn't happen. The only time the husband will take her to the Beis HaMikdash to give her to drink this water is only when she, on her own, decided she wants to go into this room alone with this man and lock the door. And she's not telling us what happened inside. We don't know what happened inside. She refused to reveal what happened inside. And the husband doesn't know. He does not know. He's now going to take her to the kohen. Now let's continue the story. Now, Pasuk Yudalit, according to Rashi, means, is describing what happened before she went into this room. Okay, that's what's so confusing about reading the Pesukim. We're now going back in time. Before this woman went into the room alone with her husband, the husband warned her, I see that you are looking at this man. I see you want to have something to do with him. I want to warn you, don't you dare. The Ovar Olav Ruach Kina, the husband, it passes upon him a spirit of jealousy. Okay, that's a very telling thing. Torah is being Megale, human psychology, jealousy, rage. The Ovar Olav Ruach Kina, the Kina Yes Ishta, he warns his wife. And then the Pasuk says, one of two things happened. Either Vihi Nit Ma'a, when she went into the room, like it said in the previous Pasuk, she did indeed do a real Avera, or Ovar Olav Ruach Kina, Vikine Es Ishtoi, Vihi Loi Nit Ma'a, and she did not do an act of Avera. Now, the obvious question is, why is there verbosity in the Pasuk? The Pasuk says he warned her, and then when she went into the room, she did the Avera. Or he warned her, and when she went into the room in the previous Pasuk, she did not do the Avera. It's very bizarre. It's very bizarre the Pasuk repeats itself twice. The whole thing is bizarre. Pasuk Yudalid is really going, really should be before Pasuk Yudgimel. A husband sees, they go to a party, and she sees that she's looking at this man, and he gets jealous. And he says, they come home, he says to his wife, I see you looking at that guy. I'm warning you, watch out. I have a hired private investigator to watch what you're doing. Don't stay away from that guy. And then she doesn't listen to his warning, and she goes, and she goes into a room all alone, and either she does an Avera, or she does not listen to his warning, and she goes into a room with this man, and she does not do an Avera. Okay, so Pasuk Yudalit should really be read before Pasuk Yudgimel. And Pasuk Yudalit is bizarre in that it repeats itself. And you know what happened? You know what happened back in Pasuk Yudgimel? Vihinitma. She actually did the Avera. Or, Oy Ovar Alav Ruach Kinav Kineas Yishtoi, Vihinitma. She did not do an Avera. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yudalit says, the Ovar Alav Koidem Listio. This Rashi is so powerful. This Rashi is so critical. If you didn't have this Rashi, then there's absolutely no way in the world you would scratch your head the whole day until every hair falls out of you, like my head. You'd have one hair on your head, and you'll never figure out what in the world is going on here in this Pasuk. Because if we're going to read the Pasukim like we ordinarily do, read Pasukim in order, then what? What is going on here? It says in the previous Pasuk that she was Mizaneh. And then here it says, and he warns her. When does he warn her? After she was Mizaneh. So Rashi says here in two words, Koidem Listira. Rashi here is a bomb, a bombshell. It's laying out over here. Pasuk Yud Dalid should really be before Pasuk Yud Gimel. Before she goes into the room, he warns her, Ruach Kina Vikinei, Perish Rabbeinu Losh Nasra. Now the word Vikinei is a word, we don't know what it means. We don't know what this word means. We never heard of this word before. We never ever go through the Gantz Tanakh. You're not going to find this word in this context. And it means over here that he warns her. It means Losh Nasra Shemasra Ba Al Tistri Im Ish Ploni. Don't you dare. And then what happens? Vihinit Ma'oi Over Alav. Now Rashi says his favorite word Koloimar. Whenever Rashi says the word Koloimar, it means come to a full stop. Not like in New York. In New York, what are the statistics of people who come to a full stop? Maybe 0.0003% come to a full stop at a stop sign. Okay, it means come to a full, complete stop. I'm going to tell you something now about the Pasuk that it does not say. I'm going to tell you new chidushim in the Pasuk. Rabbi Leza, I see you in two places. I have double vision. Okay, you're having you have to keep a microphone there. So the Hover Love, just make sure you don't have feedback. When you have two devices, there's always feedback. So what does this mean over here? So Rashi says here, Rashi says, the Hover Love, vihinit ma. Okay, vihinit ma, oyav love, koloimar. Rashi's koloimar. I'm now going to tell you something that is not, which I'm making things up here. It's not in the Pasuk. I mean, Rashi gets this from the Mesorah, means koloimar. Who hisra ba v'ovra al hasra asai v'ein yadua im nitma'a im lav. Rashi here says a mouthful. Rashi says this expression, this double expression, he warns her and she goes into the room and does an Avera, or he warns her and she goes into the room and does not do an Avera, is just an elaborate way of saying that the husband honestly does not know what happened. In English, we would just say, a husband warns his wife, she goes into a room, and the husband does not know what happened. For some reason in the Torah, it doesn't say those words, does not know. Einu yodea is not part of the vocabulary of the Torah. I think that itself is a very powerful limud, a drush, a Friday drush limud. The Torah doesn't say he does not know. There's no such thing in this world as not knowing. It says here, a very bizarre expression, he warns her and she's mizane, or he warns her and she's not mizane. Raj Kuloimar, he doesn't know. So say he doesn't know. So let the Pasuk say he doesn't know. Why is the Pasuk telling you that he doesn't know with such verbosity? Okay, you got to think about that. The Torah is emes. Seeing that from the Torah's perspective, there's no such thing as saying not to know. The Torah doesn't have that vocabulary. When the Torah talks about...
Can I interrupt a second?
Yes, yes.
The Gemara, when the Gemara gets into it, I think this is on Daled, for sure, but he says, he says that if he's a tzaddik, God puts thoughts into his mind that his wife did an avera. He's helping him out. If he's a tzaddik and never did anything himself. So it's possible, if he had it in a dream that his wife did something, or there was the machlokas of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar, that there was one eighth, right? There was, do you need eidim to put her on notice? Do you need one eighth? That they don't know what happened, but they saw her being sequestered with somebody. So that's the lashon of the pasuk. He had a dream, or there was actually an eidus. And at the end, one, it says, v'nikova ishmael bon, because she still did something wrong, even if she didn't do anything. She did what she wasn't allowed to do. So even though she went through this embarrassment, she didn't do it. Well, that's tough luck on her. She went against what best
right.
She wanted not to do.
Okay, so there's a lot of ambiguity here in this passage, and that's it. We're done.
That's what the Gemara gets. The Gemara gets into this in great detail.
Right. A whole masechta. The whole masechta on this. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. But that's what the Gemara is talking about. It could be two ways. There was an aid that she was this throw, and they don't know. Or nobody saw it, but the husband had a dream, and that's
okay.
What Rashi says. It could be that God put the thought in his mind, your wife is not doing what she's supposed to do. If he's a tzaddik and wants to help him. That's a Rashi.
Yeah.
Alright.
Obviously, Rashi in the Gemara is adding a lot more than what Rashi here in Chumash
yeah.
says. Right. And absolutely, okay. Let's just first read the Targum, then we'll come back. Let's look at the Targum. First, look at the Targum, and we'll come back to the Rashi, what you mentioned. Look at the Targum, Pasuk Yud Vibar, Alohi Ruach Kina. It comes upon him. Now, this is the future tense. Vibar Alohi Ruach Kina Vikane Yos Itase. Okay, we'll read that he warns his wife, he mi so ava. That word always means Temeya. Oi Avar Alohi Ruach Kina Vikane Yos Itase. Vihi loi mi so ava. Okay. At face value, we'll just leave it with that. These two psukim that we just read describe basically, really it's three psukim because it says in Pasuk Yud Beis also, Ish Ish Ki Siste Ishtoi Umo'alo Voi Mo'al. So really there are three psukim. The whole entire story of the Sota is presented in the Torah in three psukim. And the words are extremely bizarre. The words are being thrown around in a way that is very difficult to decipher. Rashi does his best in deciphering lefi pshutai. Rashi forces us to tell us that to read pasuk yudalid before pasuk yud gimel. That's a very big chiddush. The targum, I can't figure out what's going on over here. There are nuances in the targum which seem to indicate that the targum learns the pasuk like the Ramban. Now, what does the Ramban say? I don't know. Okay, the Ramban is also very complicated. It is exactly how to describe the story. And the Ramban is a different approach. And if you read very carefully in the Targum, he wants to suggest over here that the tenses, the way it's been used, future, past, future, there's some type of inconsistency. The Targum, it may seem very innocent, but the Targum is very devious here, and he's telling you a pshat, the story is very different than the way Rashi presents the story. But of course, as Rabbi Mayevsky pointed out, it has to still be consistent with what it says in the Mishnayis and in the Gemara. Okay, so we'll leave it with that for now. We've gone through a lot of Yisaitis. Let's go now. Now what comes next? Pasuk Tezvav.
I think this is what I want to suggest.
It doesn't say this anywhere, but I think what it means, pshat, is that when it says in Pasuk Yudalid, the first half of the Pasuk, the Ova Allah of Ruach Kina Vikini Asishra Vihi Nitmo'a, and she did the Avera, that's describing Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel in the first half of Pasuk Yud Aleph is describing one possibility. In other words, the possibility, the man, let's read the Pesukim out of order. Okay, you're saying very good. Pasuk Yud Aleph. The story begins with Pasuk Yud Aleph. A man sees his wife playing games, okay, playing around. So he says to his wife, the Avel of Ruach Kina, he gets very jealous, he's at a party, and he sees that his wife is dancing with some other man, right? So he gets very jealous. And then they go home and he says, V'kine yis ishtoi, and he says to his wife, don't you dare do this again. He warns his wife. Now, stop right there in the Pasuk. Go back now, the Pasuk Yud Gimel. And then she does not obey his warning. And she goes into a room alone with a man and she does the Avera. She does it. The Shochav Ishoi saw, she disobeys his warning, and she goes, she lies with the man, Shechva Zera, she did it. But the husband doesn't know for sure. The truth is, she did it. But the husband does not know. Vanela Meni Isha. All the husband knows is that after he warned her in Pasuk Yudalid, she went into a room alone with this man, V'nistra V'hi Nitma. All he knows is she was Nistra, and the Pasuk reinforced, but she really did it. She really did do it. The Eidin Bob, but the problem is there are no witnesses to tell us that she did the Avera, but there are witnesses that did see them have Yichud. The Hiloi Nispasa, and we also know as a fact that she was not forced to do this. And now we go back to Pasuk Yudal, Vihi Nitma. What's the bottom line? The bottom line is this woman is guilty as sin. Then we say, or maybe it didn't turn out so bad. Maybe after he warned her, she didn't actually do the Aver. So I'm trying to suggest, doesn't say this in Rashi, I didn't see this anywhere else, but it's definitely something which has to be explained. Pasuk Yud Gimel is telling us that she did it. I mean, it says it. I mean, it says, Klar, I mean, what more do you want? It says, V'shochav Yishoy Sashikva Zera, and it says, V'hi Nitma, she did the Avera. And the only thing that it says there in Pasuk Yud Gimel is that the husband doesn't know about it. He doesn't know for sure. V'nela Neisha, and there's no witnesses. And how did this whole story come about? Rashi says, before Koidem, the Stira, he warned her, don't do it. But she did it. And Pasuk Yud Gimel is telling us the tzad, the possibility that she really did the Avera. And then the end of the Pasuk is telling us, but maybe not. Maybe he warned her, and she didn't do everything that it says in Pasuk Yud Gimel. She actually did not do the Avera. And the bottom line is, Rashi says, Kolaymar, the husband doesn't really know what happened. And she's not telling him. And the man that he's accusing her of doing the Avera is also not telling. And he doesn't know what happened. There's no one in the world that knows what happened. There's no surveillance. There's no CIA. M16, what are they all called? All these intelligence agencies, NSA. There's no intelligence to reveal what happened. So now the story continues. Pasuk Tezva, Vehevi or Isha. So Ishtar, the man brings his wife, El Ha Kohen, to the Kohen. Vehevi es Karbono Oleha, and she has to bring her Karbon Oleha. That's a very funny word. Upon her, what does that word mean? Oleha, which means with her. She brings a korban when the husband does not know what happened. The husband takes her by the hand, he brings her to the Beis HaMikdash, and they bring a korban. What kind of korban? It is asiris or eifa, one-tenth of an eifa, kemach se'orim, kemach, flour from barley. This is the only time in the entire Torah that an individual brings a korban from barley. Klal Yisrael brings on Pesach a korban, the Omer is from barley. But an individual, never ever does an individual ever bring a korban from barley. This is the only time a person brings a korban from barley. It's one-tenth of an ephah, a barley. And the pasuk goes on to say there's no oil. Ordinarily, when you bring a korban mincha, you pour upon it oil. Lo yitzek olav shemen. Velo yitein olav levayna. You know why? Because minchas kina oisu. This is a meal offering of jealousy. Now, it says here the word kina os b'lashon rabim. Two jealousies. Who are the two jealousies? What are the two jealousies? Let's see. Minchas, then it goes on to elaborate. It's a minchas, a meal offering of zikaroin. Wow, what does that mean? What does that mean? I have no idea. What does that mean? A minch of zikaroin. It's maskeres avoin. The pasuk repeats itself. It's zikaroin and it's a maskeres of sin. Rashi is very long. You know, it's a very long pasuk. Pasukim aren't typically so long. They're usually much shorter than this. Pasuk tezvav. Kemach. First it says here, it says kemach shlo yeis misoilas. Ordinarily a mincha you bring from fine flour. You pulverize the flour until it's a dust, it's a powder. Not here. Here it's coarse. The barley has to be coarse. Number two, so'irim v'lo chitim. Why? Who eats barley? Animals. Animals love barley. Men like wheat. Like wheat. The woman over here behaved like an animal. She followed her impulses instead of following her seichel. Barley, v'lechitim, he osesa ma'ase behema, the karbana, therefore the karbana is a ma'achol behema. La yitzek olav shemen, shalo yehe karbana mihudar. Oil makes the karbana mihudar beautiful. Shahashemen, and he writes over here something that is amazing insight. Shahashemen korui or. What? Where does it say that? Where in the world did Rashi get that? This is a mysterious Rashi. Who ever heard of this? Shemen is called or? Who says? I don't know. I don't know where it says this. Shahashemen korui or vihi osesa b'chayshach. She did an avera in darkness. What? Maybe the lights were on. Who says the avera took place when it was dark in that room? Maybe the lights were on. Obviously it means she did something in secret. I don't know. It's not so clear what Rashi means. We'll leave with that. Lo yitin alech levoina she. Now look at this, Rashi. Shohi mohois nikra'ois levoina. Our matriarchs are called frankincense. Not Frankenstein, but frankincense. Frankincense is married to Frankenstein. called Levina. They're called Levina. What's the Levina? Shenemar El Givas HaLevina, the hill. The men are called mountains and the women are called the hills. Okay? El Givas HaLevina, the Hipersha Midar Kehen. This woman has separated from the ways of the matriarchs and she's acted in a way that is not tsonua, and therefore there is not going to be any levoina, because levoina is associated with the imahois. Okay, so know what that means. That means when you bring a korban mincha and you put levoina, Shabbos, what do you put on the lechem upon him? Levoina. It represents the notion. The Rashi here is teaching you a yesod. Every time you have levoina in a korban, levoina represents the imahois. What does this mean? Now here's a very important word. This is for the Baal Kriya, gets mixed up. Minchas kinois hu. Now if you're a Baal Kriya, like Rabbi Mayevsky, and you don't know if it's who or he, so what do? You make believe you're Hasidish, and a who becomes a he. But if you're in a Litvish Olam, they're not going to let you get away with this. They're going to lynch you. Where I lay. The worst mistake you can make is who and he. They'll hang you up by your toenails if you make a mistake between a who and a he. Now, if you don't know, so what do? You think quick. It says minchas the sof. A sof minchas kina ois. That's two sofs. Wow. A sof is always nikeva. A sof is always nikeva. So we're discussing the minochos and the kinois. So you can bet your bottom buck that it's going to be a he, not a who. Right? That's what I would do. If I was like, I don't know what was going on, I would say, it says, I don't know, is it who, he? Think quick. Ki minchas kinois. Minchas sof. Kinois. Sof. Two sofs. Push it, right? You say he, kiminchas kinois he. I bet you a lot of balikui make this mistake because it's almost like second nature. A minchas, every time you have a saf, you automatically say just in your mind, he. No, it's not what it says in the pasuk. It says minchas kinois who. Woo, how could that possibly be? That's not grammatically correct. Rashi to the rescue. Rashi says, you know why it's called who? Hakemach, because it's going on kemach. When it says the word who, it's not referring back to the minochos. It's not referring back to the kinois. The word who is referring back to the kemach. And kemach ends with a ches. And a ches is always loshen zocher. The end of the word ends with a ches, loshen zocher. It's a noun. Proper noun. Kemach is flower. Proper nouns are always zocher. Kemach. Vehi, therefore, hakemach hazeh. Kemach. Lashon Zohar. That's why it says who. Minchas kinois. And what does this mean? A mincha of jealousy. Me'oreres olecha shtei kinois. Why is it plural? What's the plural? There's only one man that's jealous. Who's jealous of her? Only one man. So there's an incredible Rashi. This Rashi is off the charts. He says here, shtei kinois, kinas hamokon v'kinas habal. There are two people that are jealous of her. Her husband, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is also upset. The reason why you bring this woman to the Beis HaMikdash is because Hashem is basically saying, this is, it opens up a whole insight. A man's wife is playing games. So that's it. If a man's wife is playing games, so divorce her or whatever, punish her, whatever. What's this whole business? You take her to the Beis HaMikdash and you do this ceremony? I mean, what's going on over here? Since when does Hashem get involved in domestic violence, domestic strife? Okay, go to Besdin. You have a problem. There's a marriage counselor, there's a psychologist, psychiatrist. You name it. Go to your rabbi. Go fight it out somewhere. Go to a boxing match and go beat up each other. Since when is the Ribbono Shel Olam getting involved in domestic strife? That's not Hashem's business. That's not what Hashem gets involved in. And Hashem says, no. I take this very seriously. I'm also insulted. Because when they got married, you know who made the shidduch? Ki me Hashem yotza hadover. Okay? Shidduchim is Hashem. You know, who has the most tsar when a couple gets divorced? The shatran. The shatran. I'm responsible. I made the shidduch. They got married. And now it didn't work out. And ad kadekach, they got divorced. It's a horror. It's mamish shahad. There's no such thing as a clean divorce. No such thing as a clean divorce. It doesn't exist. Does not exist. Impossible. Impossible. So who blames themselves? The shatran blames themselves. I mean, I don't know if they do it, but the Ribbono Shel Olam is the shatran. Me Hashem yotza hadavar. Hashem ish v'isha shalom inayim, shechina inayim, the yud and the hey. The ish is the yud, the ish is the hey. Ka. Hashem is there. Hashem is hurt. So just like the husband is jealous, Hashem is jealous. What did you do to me? Therefore, come to my house and I'm also going to deal with the situation. So it says, Minchas kina ois, meloshen rabin. The husband is jealous and Hashem is jealous. Let's do the targum on this pasuk. This is a very, very hard pasuk. Pasuk tezvav, the yaise guvra, guvra. Here, all of a sudden, the man is called the guvra. Why is he called the guvra? He's called the gvar. There are a lot of, we don't have expertise in targum to appreciate when targum is playing games with us here. Okay? Every word, you have to cross-reference how he translates these words elsewhere, and then you'll discover that he's translating the words here a little bit differently, and the little teeny nuances is volumes of commentary. The Yesei, Guvra, Yos, Itisei, he'll bring his wife, Levos, Kahana. What's Levos? Levos means, there's also a funny word, Levos means two. He's going to bring his wife, Levos means here, to the Kohen. Okay, to the Kohen. The Yesi Yos Kurbana Allah. He'll bring a Korban Allah. Now that's a very good word. Allah. What's Allah? So there's an Ibn Ezra. And he says the word, it goes on the word Oleha. I told you before, Oleha literally means upon her. Nowhere do we find the husband takes the mincha and puts the mincha upon her body. There's no such thing. It means he brings the mincha together with her. The Targum over here is addressing the unusual word Oleha, and it translates to the word Allah. And Allah means on her behalf. Allah means he brings a korban, Allah, not together with her, but on her behalf. Chad min Asra, 1 out of 10. Now here is a very important word in the Targum, betlos se'in. The Targum here has done us an enormous favor. He has taught us that the word in Eifa, if not for the Targum, we would not even know how much flour is in an Eifa. Targum here did something very unique. He told us that the measure of an Eifa is 3 saw. 1 Eifa, Targum didn't just say an Eifa, Targum said Tlos Se'in. How do you know that? Maybe an Eifa is 5 saw. Maybe it's 2 saw. Maybe it's 1 saw. Maybe it's 20 saw. Targum here has taught us a rule, taught us something very important, that an Eifa is 1/10 of an Eifa, 1/10 of a measure that starts out with 3 sa'ah. Kemach, sa'irin, with a samach, flour made from barley, lo yirik. Now this is an amazing word also, yitzayk. What does it mean, yitzayk? Yitzayk means to pour. Yirik means to spit. It doesn't mean to pour. So maybe we don't know what the word yitzayk means. Maybe the word yitzayk, what do you mean you pour? How do you spit? I was had a big argument with someone about this. When I was in Beis Medrash in Chaim Berlin, we had a Rebbe who was a baki in Chalitza. He was a very big baki in Chalitza, and he demonstrated, we were learning Masechet Yevamos, and he put on a massive demonstration for the entire yeshiva to see how Chalitza is done. He didn't do a real Chalitza, but he demonstrated the whole thing. And I remember clear as day, he said that when the woman spits in front of the oven, she doesn't spit like a baseball player on a pitcher's mound. Okay, if you want to know what it means to spit, you go watch baseball. They're not baseball anymore. You go on the pitcher's mound and you watch. If you want to know what it means to spit, turn on the television and watch a pitcher. You'll see what it means to spit. How many times do you see on television, on one baseball game on television, somebody spit? What are the statistics? Look it up online. You'll be blown away how many times on television you see someone spit in an average baseball game. In the World Series, it's like 5 times that amount. Goes to show that when you spit, you're very nervous. But guess what? That's not the way a Yevama spits. She doesn't go and collect chew tobacco and spit. She collects her saliva and drools. She drools. She collects until... I'm not going to demonstrate, obviously. Okay, she drools. He did demonstrate it for us. And it takes a very long time. It could take 15 minutes until she collects enough saliva where it drools to the degree where the Bezdin can see the saliva drop from her mouth in the presence of her Yavam. When you're in kindergarten, they teach you the sugi of Yavim. You think like in baseball, the pitcher spits. That's not the way it's done. So I told this to somebody, and this is what he said in front of a few hundred people. He said this. He says he was present at a chalitza ceremony. He saw, and he tells me, I don't know what I'm talking about. The Yavama spit just like a pitcher in a baseball game. No different. And he kept on telling me over and over, you don't know what you're talking about. You're making things up. It's not true. All right, maybe I'm right. But that's it. So here it's the word yirik. Alohi Mishcha, it says this word, do not pour upon it oil. V'layitin alohi levointa, aray, because minchas kinasa hu, minchas duchrona, it is a mincha of remembrance. Matkeres choyvin, it is coming to remember a sin. All right, we're going to have to stop over here. Everybody say, tomorrow we'll learn the Sidur. Okay, tomorrow we're going to go back to the Sidur. And Baruch Hashem, at least we got through a nice amount here. And next week we'll go do Mirtza Hashem, Parshas Pahalo Yischa. Have a good night. Be well.
Good night.
Good night. Ladies and gentlemen.